Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
The posture of faith. You know, I've found, I don't know if you've done this before, but oftentimes when I run into a problem, I can kind of want to solve that problem as quickly as possible. Am I speaking to anyone today? You know, your car's broken down. And it's like, well, we got to get this thing back on the road pronto. And that attitude is good. That initiative is good. But sometimes I find it can be detrimental to our walk with the Lord because in our haste, we can apply the wrong solution to the problem. And so I've just said, you know, we need a posture of faith in order to enter in to what God has for us. And my concern is that though I've said that, what you have heard is that you need to try harder, you need to work better, you need to work yourself up, you need to stir yourself up. And it's almost like we think it's our responsibility to get faith ourselves. And it's almost like me telling you, you have a vitamin D deficit problem. And you're like, oh my gosh, I need more vitamin D. And you start researching every food that has vitamin D in it. You start trying to find supplements with vitamin D. You find that vitamin D comes in steak and it comes in chicken. You can do all of this work, but you know what would be way more simple? If you just came into the sun for a little bit and got into the right environment. If you came to the place that had vitamin D, it would come into you already. And the reality with faith isn't something you give yourself. Faith is a gift from God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse number 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. See, Jesus is the one who authors faith in your life. Faith is not man-made. It's not the power of positive thinking. Faith is a gift from God. And so if we have a faith deficit, what we're really saying is we need to come back into close proximity with the one who gives faith. That if we have a faith problem, we can try hard, we can work hard, or we could just get into the presence of the one who gives it. And simply by being in proximity to him, his faith gets inside of us. See, a faith issue is actually a repercussion of an intimacy issue. So this coming to God to stir our faith, what we first need to do is come to the one who has faith, who has all gifts, and his name is Jesus. I want to take the pressure off every single person in this room. Maybe you've heard sermons about faith in times past, and you thought, man, I'll never get there. I'll never measure up. I'll never have that much faith. I've got good news for you. You don't need much faith. You don't need anything. You just need to come to the one who has all faith. It's him. It's his work in you. Christianity is not about how good we are. It's actually about how weak we are, but how strong he is. It's not about how much faith we have. It's about how good he is to give us his faith. That we need to come to him. And this coming to God is something we like to call prayer. And so point number one today, I just got three quick points and then we're going to pray around a posture of faith. But a posture of faith is a posture of prayer. Someone say prayer. See, prayer is not just going through a prayer list. Prayer is connection with a person. See, if we've got a faith issue and we're trying to solve it through prayer, the goal of our time of prayer has to be to connect with the one who gives faith. And on Friday night, you know, Pastor Josh shared a great sermon to our young people about the power of prayer. And he gave this idea of how in our Western society, we have disconnected communication with intimacy. Because now, who knows, if you want to get in touch with someone, you can just send them a voice message, you can send them a text, you can communicate and not even be in the same room. But once upon a time, when you wanted to communicate with someone, the only way to get in touch and to have communication was to get into proximity with that person, was to get into that same place. And I think when it comes to prayer, it is the exact same in our lives. See, a lot of us, we can send prayers to God like text messages saying, yeah, God, would you do this? God, would you move in my family? God, would you bless my business? But what God is inviting you into isn't just sending a text of prayer, but getting alone with him, getting into his presence, getting into proximity, where you forget that you're even praying in the first place because his presence becomes more real to you than the problem you're dealing with. See, when Jesus instructed his disciples on how to pray, before he even gives them a script, before he even gives them a template of the Lord's Prayer, he first says, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. He gives them a location before he gives them a process. Why? Because the Father is in secret. In other words, if you want to pray, you got to get to where God is. Prayer is less about what you say to God and more about connecting with him yourself. And so to restore a posture of prayer, or sorry, to restore a posture of faith, we need to restore a posture of prayer in our lives. See, Jesus invites us into the secret place. He invites us to be close with him. And friend, it's in that place of closeness with God. It's in that place of intimacy with him that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. See, if prayer stresses you out, you're probably praying wrong. If prayer is a challenge to you, it's probably not God's the one that's making the challenge. See, when we come to Jesus and we get to know him, the outcome, yes, we'll talk, yes, we'll bring our list, but the goal priority is just to know and to see him rightly. And in that place, it's almost like getting into the sun without even realizing that vitamin D is just getting into your skin, without even realizing faith is coming alive in you. Why? Because you're with the author of faith. Now, someone might say, Matt, what about the word? We can't just pray. We need the word. The word of God brings faith. And 100%, I actually fully agree with you. It's so important that you and I live our lives, not just in prayer, but live our lives with the word of God as the anchor that holds us. Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. And so yes, we do need to come into close proximity with the word, but let me just encourage you, knowing the word without knowing the author can lead you into all despair. Because there are theologians out there that read and know the Bible far more than you do, far more than I do, and they do not even believe Jesus is the Son of God. Why? Because they know the text, but they don't know the one who wrote it. Why? Because the word doesn't give you faith. What does the Bible say? Romans 10 verse 6, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, faith doesn't come because you know the Bible. Faith comes because you hear God's word through the Bible. Faith doesn't come because you know scripture. It comes because you met with the author in scripture. And scripture guides, scripture coasts us, it leads us, but it's the Holy Spirit that illuminates all truth. That's why Jesus himself said the Spirit alone gives life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. Why? Because you and me, in all of our efforts of prayer, of all of our efforts of reading the word, of striving, of hurrying, we cannot produce an ounce of faith. But we can come to the one who gives it. We can sit with him. We can talk to him. We can commune with him. And in that place, faith gets birth and faith gets restored. Jesus himself is an example of this. You know, I believe Jesus is not the exception. He's the example. He modeled to us what a Christian life can look like. And it says in Luke 5, 7, 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. If the Son of God often withdrew to lonely places to pray, how much more do you and I need to get alone with God? Why did he go to lonely places? Because he knew that the Father was in secret. See, Jesus wasn't just going rehearsing sermons. He was going connecting with his God. And I just believe in 2025, I so sense it prophetically on my heart that God is restoring honor for the secret place once again. I actually feel like there's a corporate call, not just to Nations Church, but to the whole church in the world to come back to the secret place, to come back to seeking his face. You've probably already felt it to some degree in the last 12 months where the Lord's been tugging on your heart saying, hey, would you come be alone with me? Would you come speak to me? Why? Because God wants a people that know his heart. He's looking for a people that can stay on their knees. And I just believe that God is restoring and rebuilding our secret place once again, where we pray because we love him, not to get an answer, where we seek him for his presence, not just to get a miracle in our lives, where his presence becomes more important than where we're going. That prayer that Moses prayed on that mountain saying, God, unless your presence goes with me, I don't want to go, would become the prayer of our generation. That say, God, I don't even want to fulfill the calling unless you're there. Your presence is a greater priority to me than anything I might ever do for you. I feel like God is restoring a posture of faith, and a posture of faith to us, it looks like a posture of prayer. And as I was preparing this message, an area of prayer, I actually just felt the Lord highlight to me specifically is this idea and grace and area of praying in tongues. And I know a lot of churches have divided over this issue. It can be contentious in some circles. And if you've been a part of Nations Church for any amount of time, it's probably likely you've overheard someone praying in tongues before, whether it's at an altar or maybe next to you in worship. And you know, we can believe all sorts of things about how we get tongues or the evidence of it. But I just want to pause maybe the theological conversation for a moment to ask the question, what is actually the purpose of tongues? Have you ever wondered that when the disciples got filled with the Spirit and they began speaking in tongues? And even Paul the Apostle, it doesn't record that he spoke in tongues when he got filled, but he said to the Corinthians later, I speak in tongues more than any of you. Like, what is the goal? Why the speaking in tongues? And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened. Someone say strengthened? Personally. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. That word strengthen, it means to edify. It means to build up. It's like going to the gym and getting an iron pump. It stirs you up. You know, what prophecy does to the hearer. We've all been there when someone's got a prophetic word. It's like, man, that looks so encouraging. That looks so faith-stirring. What prophecy does outwardly, tongues does inwardly. Because he who prophesies strengthens the church, but he who prays in tongues strengthens himself internally. And I believe one of the keys to developing and strengthening our faith is restoring a priority and praying in tongues in our own time. I want to share a quick testimony about this. This was a few years ago. I don't even know if Pastor Shannon remembers this, but Pastor Shannon was once upon a moon, the high school's coordinator here at Nations Church. I think we all started there. Josh started there. I started there. Kat skipped that. She's just graceful, great things. And we were in a high school, and we had this guest rapper, Young Chosen, coming into the school. He did these songs like, some of you know, Shorty, You the Baddest, 31 Status. It was Christian, apparently. And so, you know, we're like, yeah, this is great. The young people will love it. And then we'll give them the gospel. Praise God. And so Pastor Blake was coming to, you know, do his thing, rap and then preach. But there's a problem on the freeway. There was a car crash or something. And so he was running late. And so Pastor Shannon comes up to me. And I'm like, honestly, 17, 18 at this time. And he's like, hey, Matt, Blake is running late. If he doesn't make it in time, can you share your testimony? And I was like, what? Like, I'm not a youth pastor. I'm just like a youth leader. But you know, you want to honor your leaders. You want to have faith. So I was like, yeah, 100%. Gotcha. You know? And then all of a sudden I was terrified because I was like, what on earth am I about to say to these people? Have you ever been in a situation where you said yes before you realized the cost? Some of you, it's like having kids. It's like, oh, what have I done? And so I was like, okay, I need to figure out what I'm going to do. And I'll be honest, I did not know what I was going to do. And so I was like, I did the only thing I knew how to do. And I went to a secret place and I began to pray. And my secret place that moment was the boys' bathroom at Kennedy Baptist College. And so I went in there, I locked myself in that room and I just began to talk to Jesus. And I began to pray in the Spirit. And I began to pray in tongues saying, God, would you give me the words? Would you speak through me? And I just began to let that river flow. I began to let that anointing begin to burn. And I tell you what, I walked into that room feeling like a quiet, shy, scared. I walked out of that room like I was on cloud 10. I was ready to take the word. I was like ready to preach a gospel campaign. I was like, here we go. The whole world's going to get saved. If you need Jesus, lift your head. I was ready to go. 17, passionate, prayed in the Spirit. And I don't know if you've been there before and it's like your faith gets built. You're like, God's about to do something. I was excited, man. So walk out. Here I go. And you wouldn't believe it. As I walk out, Blake Young arrives in the car. Praise God. So he does his thing, you know. Shorty, you're the bad. Everyone's like, yeah, you're the man, Blake. I was like, you're pretty cool. I know, it's cool. And I was a bit discouraged because like, God, what, you know, I was really ready. And he shared his faith. He shared Jesus. And kind of the moment was over. And I was just standing there. And I noticed this kid next to me. I just felt, have you ever had that prompting before? You like just kind of feel to talk to someone. So I was like, hey. He was like, hey. And I just asked, I was like, hey, did you enjoy what he had to say? He's like, yeah, no, it was good. It's good. I was like, oh, yeah. Do you have a relationship with God? And he was like, no, I don't. I was like, okay. would you like one? He was like, yeah, it'd be good. I thought, okay. Would you like to, we could pray right now if you like. And he's like, yeah, bro, sounds good. He's become Kiwi all of a sudden. I don't know why. They had a big moldy intake in that year. And so just there and then we prayed this prayer and this kid gets born again right there and there, period one in high school on a Wednesday morning. I remember walking out of there and it was like, oh my gosh, God just saved someone. God just moved. And I remember testifying to Pastor Shannon. I remember sharing it with even Blake in the car park. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, someone got saved. It was actually a miracle. I was shocked. I hadn't really led many people to the Lord. But then it dawned on me that had I not spent that time in prayer, I don't think my faith would have been ready for God to use in that way. I actually think I would have missed that moment, not because it wasn't God's will, but because I didn't stir myself up. See, I want to encourage you, the gift of tongues is a gift that God has given to you and I to give us the ability to stir up the faith we already have, to actually expand the faith we already have. And I just want to prophesy in this room right now that 2025 is not just a year of the secret place, it's a year of petition in the secret place. It's a year of intercession. It's a year of deep groans for some of us. It's a year of getting on our knees and the glory of God filling that place and shaking the room where you forget about the time, you forget about the dishes, you forget about what needs to be done, and you be hold him, and in that place, he not only stirs your faith, but gives you more faith. Point number one this morning is simply this: a posture of faith is a posture of prayer. Point number two, if you're taking notes, a posture of faith is a posture of honor. Now, this is the point I'm nervous of how it's going to go. So if you hate me, please come next week because I won't be preaching. You know, a part of hearing God that leads to faith is actually learning to recognize people that God is speaking through. See, honor, the definition of honor is to regard with high respect or with great esteem. And our ability to recognize people that God is on and speaking through predetermines our ability to receive through them. I want to take you to a biblical text in Mark 6, it says, the next day, Jesus began teaching in the synagogue and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? So Jesus is there doing his thing. He's preaching and people are like, wow, that's a good, I've never heard this before. People are seeing miracles happen. They're seeing testimonies. God is moving. It's exciting. And then all of a sudden, verse 3 comes in and it says, then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. And the Bible says they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And verse number 5, this is one of the craziest verses, I think, in the whole canon of scripture. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. See, the town of Nazareth saw Jesus move and was like, man, that's pretty cool. But then they allowed honor to rob them of receiving through him. And they thought, we know this guy. We grew up with him. We know his sisters, we know his brothers. It's not this the carpenter's son. Like, who does this guy think he is? And catch this morning, their unbelief and offense did not nullify Jesus' teaching and make it untrue. It did not change Jesus' anointing. It did not even change the power of what Jesus was doing, but it robbed themselves of receiving through him. When you and I fail to properly honor those that God is resting on and move, it doesn't change God's mind about them. It doesn't even change their anointing. But what it does is it corrupts and it disrupts our ability to receive God through them. And if there's something I've learned about God over these last 5 years, is often God comes in packages we don't like. Often the word of the Lord is your daughter on a random Tuesday morning saying, hey, mommy, how's Nan going? And you've just been thinking about praying for your Nan for the last 10 minutes. And it's like, who is this prophet the Lord has sent my way? Get back in your room. You know, and we don't like the package that's coming, but I think our ability to properly recognize those God is on predetermines our ability to hear. And as the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When we hear right, faith grows inside of us. And so maybe you're like, oh, that's cool. I get it. I think we should listen to Jesus, but that's Jesus. What about, why should I listen to maybe Pastor Ken? Why should I listen to Pastor Shannon in the next 2 weeks? What is so significant about them that predetermines that they're worthy of my regard as actually having a voice of God in my life? And I think that's a really valid and a really valuable question. And I want to answer that for you and for me, not with my opinion, but through the Word of God. And the reality is this, some people, because of their position of authority, what they say carries more weight in the spirit. I want to say that again, and then I want to back it up with scripture. Some people, because of their position of authority, what they say carries more spiritual weight. And a lot of us, we don't like this because in Australia, we have a resistance to authority. We have a, like, kind of like, we like everyone to be on the same level. We pull those down that are higher. But I just believe God is restoring godly honor and respect and reverence for his servants and for men and women of God that he's laid his hands upon. And the Bible says this in John 11:45. Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together. What are we going to do, they asked. This man certainly performs miracles. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation. Caiaphas, who was high priest at the time, said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it's better for you that one man should die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed." Verse 51, he did not say this on his own. As high priest at that time, he was led to prophesy that Jesus would die for the entire nation, and not only for that nation, but to bring together and unite all the children of God scattered around the world. We find this Caiaphas, not because he was a man of God, not because he had a good heart, he was agreeing that they should kill Jesus, but because of his position of authority, because he was high priest, what came out of his mouth wasn't just a good idea, it was actually a prophetic statement from God. And it wasn't because of his own character, it was because of the mantle he carried. That when it comes to people of authority, I actually believe God still flows and functions through authority. That's why Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases." In other words, what comes from the primary leader over a ministry or over even a family or a connect isn't just often good ideas, but often it has the trace of heaven on it. Why? Because their heart is like water in the hands of the Lord. But when we don't recognize those God is speaking through and moving through, it doesn't mean that God isn't with them. It doesn't mean what they're saying is wrong. It just robs ourselves of receiving God through them. I want to encourage you as a practical application, come to next Sunday, Vision Sunday, not with the attitude, let's see what PK has to say for Nations Church, but let's see what God wants to speak into in my life. I want to encourage you, come to your connect group, not with the attitude of, let's just see if anything good happens, but God, what are you going to say to me today? That when we learn to recognize and give honor, yes, honor to people that God has chosen, that God has raised up, that God has appointed, it positions our heart to hear God through them. I'm not saying we blindly take on board what everyone says. I'm not saying we don't check it against scripture ourselves. 100% do that. But I am saying that oftentimes people in places of authority carry the prophetic word of God, and our ability to hear it determines our ability to receive it. Can someone say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God, that was the hard word over. But I want to encourage you, especially if you're a part of this house, if you call Nations Church your spiritual home, do not view words from our senior pastor or directives that come really from like senior leadership as just suggestions to the people. See it as what God is wanting to do in your life. That when, that's one of the things I've loved about being planted in Nations Church, we come around a time of giving every single year, and I'm not just like, oh, I pray people give, I'm going to God. God, would you teach me to be generous once again? I believe it's a time of financial breakthrough for me. When we come around a time of the generations, I'm not just like, oh yeah, it's a good idea to honor older people. I get to come to God and say, God, would you teach me to have a reverence for men and women of God that have gone before me? Teach me to hear God through them. I love what God is doing in our church because I'm planted here. What he does in the church, he does in my life too. And that same invitation is available to every person who calls Nations Church their home. Point number one, posture of faith is a posture of prayer. Point number two, a posture of faith is a posture of honor. And point number three, and I'd love to invite the worship team to come join me, a posture of faith is a posture of personal application. Have you ever listened to a sermon and thought it would be really good for someone else to hear it? I think we've all done it. You know, Pastor Chrissy's up preaching about humble hunger. You're like looking at your partner, especially that humble part. Huh? Could do some work, you know? Or maybe youth and young adult guy getting up talking about honoring authority that God instructs. You're looking over at your kid like, listen to this man of God. Finally, someone preaching truth in this place. You know, yes, I think we can all relate to that experience of feeling like someone else can really learn from something. But the reality is a posture of faith isn't a posture that applies the word to other people. It's a posture that sees what God wants to do in their life. And this is where the rubber hits the road for a lot of us, because faith without deeds is dead. So even if God gives the gift of faith, even if God speaks to you, even if you hear and faith comes, that faith isn't complete until it goes through you and becomes an action in your life. James puts it this way. James, who was one of the early church fathers, he writes this book. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. I love the English Standard Version. It translates it like this. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I want to challenge us as the 9 a.m. service right now and those watching online, that your growth this year is not dependent on your ability to hear God. Your growth this year is dependent on your ability to do what He tells you to do. Sometimes it's not a hearing issue. In fact, a lot of the times, it's an obedience issue. That we can hear what God is applying. He's drawing us to the secret place. He's teaching us to bring honor back to those that He's placed in our lives, men and women of God that He's surrounded us with. He's challenging us in different areas, but oftentimes it's not our hearing, it's our obedience that makes it work. That's why James 1:25 says, He will be blessed in His doing. The blessing is available in the hearing, but it's only applied in the doing. I want to encourage you this year, Nations Church, don't just restore a posture of faith through prayer and through honor. Restore a posture of faith through personal application. Ask yourself, God, what are you doing in me in this moment? That's why 1 Samuel 15:22 says, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to His voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. If we want to be people that have the posture of faith, we have to recognize faith without deeds is dead. I want to challenge you next Sunday to be in the room. There's something powerful about being in the room. There's something powerful about getting in the right environment. But I want to encourage us, let's carry that posture of humility that doesn't just say, God, what are you doing in Nations Church? But saying, God, what are you doing in my life? God, what are you wanting to do in my family? I want to encourage you when you come to your connect, don't just say, God, what are you doing in other people's lives? God, what are you trying to cut out of me today? What are you trying to mold into me today? I want to encourage you in every area of your life, bring a personal application that says, God, show me what you want me to do in this area. Search me and know me, test me and try me. Point out anything that offends and lead me along the path of everlasting life. See, a posture of faith, it's a posture of prayer, it's a posture of honor, it's a posture of personal application.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.